Lord, I do ask right now that you would just get a hold of our hearts, our minds, anything that's a distraction. I pray that you'd help us to stay focused. I pray, Lord, that at the end of this time together, we would be doers and not hearers only, and that you would help us to see our foolish ways for what they are. And I'm so grateful, Holy Spirit, you come not only to convict, but to comfort me and to comfort us that there is hope because of you. Thank you. I'm going to praise you. You're worthy. And I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Anybody think you could have a foolish way or two? Well, yeah. You thinking so? I want to begin with a parable found in Matthew 25. And I will say that this message today has more Bible in it than anything I've ever shared. Just Bible. I just want to give you the word. I just want to feed you manna, bread from heaven, till you want no more. And because I know there are some note takers, I want you to know that I made handouts with all of these scriptures and more for you to take home. So just don't even worry about trying to slow down. What was that? It's okay. You get to take it home, and I hope you will. Because the more I study and the more I read these words of truth, the more they impact the way I live and do life. And the more I can rejoice when we sing these songs that say, my shame is undone because of Jesus. The guilt is gone. Oh, wretched man that I am, I'm so grateful. Jesus taught this parable in Matthew 25. It was the story about the 10 bridesmaids or virgins in some texts. Verse 1, Jesus said, when the end comes, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids. They took their oil lamps and went to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish bridesmaids took their lamps, but they didn't take any extra oil. The wise bridesmaids, however, took along extra oil for their lamps. Since the groom was late, all the bridesmaids became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, someone shouted, "The groom is here! Come to meet him!" Then all the bridesmaids woke up and got their lamps ready. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." But the wise bridesmaids replied, "We can't do that. There won't be enough for both of us. Go, find someone to sell you some oil." While they were buying oil, the groom arrived. The bridesmaids who were ready went with him into the wedding hall, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids arrived and said, Sir, open the door for us. But he answered them, I don't even know who you are. Bottom line, it says in verse 13, so stay awake because you don't know the hour or the day of his return. Anybody? Of course we don't. When Jesus taught this parable, it was the custom for marriage ceremonies to last up to a week long. It was their tradition, a lot of celebrating, a lot of dancing. And the bridegroom would go at night to his bride's home, and he would carry her off to their new home. So the pathway was lit by the bride's maids, these virgins that were chosen. There is also a very important takeaway for us and an important message and an application for us. The parable of the 10 virgins emphasizes that all believers must constantly look out for their own spiritual condition in the light of Christ's coming. Because the date, the time is unknown and it is unexpected. We are to persevere in faith. I realize that your faith and my faith is and will be tested to the core. Will you trust me? Will you believe? Will you hope in me? We need to be vigilant And we need to have an expectant attitude. You know when somebody's coming, you've gone to the airport, you're waiting, is that their plane? Are they you're so excited. How expectant, how excited are you really? I don't know if you ever look up when we have one of those white, fluffy cloud days. And the other day I got out of my car and I took a picture because it had the silver lining behind it. It was so amazing. That could have been the cloud. Look up. Our redemption draws nigh, people. Get excited. Be ready. Be on the alert. Be watchful. The word says to examine yourself. Take the test. See if you pass it. Are we so preoccupied with the things of this world, this life, the toils, the burdens, the responsibilities, the pressures? Of course we are. It's our life. It's what we live. That's normal. But to be so consumed with me, myself, and I that I've lost sight of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the sustainer of my life, the giver of breath, the one that gives me counsel in the night, the one that holds my hand, the one that's there when I kneel in prayer. If we ever lose sight of him, we're going down. Peter could walk on the water as long as he was looking at his Savior. When he began to look at the waves tossing, and what was he doing? He sank. He took his eyes off the Master, the Beloved. I don't know what your worst day would look like. I've had some pretty tough ones. I know you have. But I pondered this thought, Beloved. What would be my worst day in the whole wide world? And it would be to be excluded from the presence of God and his kingdom. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And if you've been walking with the Spirit for any time at all, there is the honeymoon stage. My dad used to call it. He used to preach it. You're just so twitter-pated in love because I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, amazing grace. But then as we begin to grow, the tests come because we're growing and we get shaken a little bit and we get spanked a little bit. But I don't know if you have, but I have felt the Holy Spirit's grief and him part. And there's nothing like losing the joy of the Lord because it's your strength. And that's our inheritance. That's our normal. If we're not walking in the peace that passes understanding, if his joy isn't our strength, he hasn't moved. We have. Something we've done has distanced ourselves, our sins, unconfessed sins, coddling of a habit. These things, just like David in Psalms 51 when he'd sinned with Bathsheba and he knew he'd committed adultery and he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. If you are not twitter-pated in love with Jesus, if you are not giddy with joy, if his peace isn't boggling your mind, you're getting ripped off by Satan and your flesh. Because the spirit and the flesh are constantly at war. My flesh says do this. My flesh says think this. My flesh says respond like this. My flesh. But the spirit trumps that. Be still. Be quiet. Be patient. Be loving. Be kind. Be long-suffering. Put on a little self-control. And when we war and the flesh wins and we no longer have the joy of the Lord and the peace that passes understanding, the spirit is grieved because he knows we're getting ripped off. He knows. He died. He died for us to have it all. Do you want it all? Do you really? Are you going to fight the good fight of faith to preserve it? He says, you maintain your peace. You hold on to your peace. Don't let it go. Don't give it away to this little trial and this little trouble and this little fear and worry. Don't give away your peace because it's your power. You and I can do nothing without the peace that passes understanding. He gave us shoes of peace so we could stamp out chaos. Let's be getting these boots on and do some stomping. Amen. Christ is coming soon. Are we being watchful? Are we being faithful? We got to plan. We got to prepare. We have to plan, folks. We have to prepare. Anybody ever in your whole life ever gone on vacation? Anybody? All right. Excuse me. Sorry about that. So, when you are planning a vacation, you probably check the budget to see how far you can go on X number of tanks of gas. You look at a map to see the route. You plan it. You might check ahead campsites, hotels, Airbnbs. You might look for entertainment options as you're going to this place. And if you're going hunting or fishing, you're going to check the weather. Oh, no, you don't. I'm sorry. When you fish and you hunt, you don't care about the weather. This man has hunted in freezing cold, snowy weather where when you wake up in the morning from your tent, your coffee cup is frozen, and they call it fun. And you fish in the rain, so I get that. But you do check. I know I do. And I know I'm going to go to Arizona or somewhere out of our region. I check and see what the weather's going to be like for the next 10 days so I'll know what to pack. Is it going to be cold, hot, rainy, sunny? You plan ahead. You prepare. You might need to get a house sitter. You prepare. Someone needs to water your plants. Water your dog. Feed your cat. And if it's going to be an extended trip, you might pay your bills in advance or put them on auto pay. You stop your mail. Is there anything I'm forgetting? Okay. What about spiritual preparedness? In our parable, none of the bridesmaids knew when the bridegroom was coming. None of them. The difference is 5 were prepared and 5 were not. If we're foolish, we fail to recognize that the Lord's return could come at any time. And in this parable, the running low of oil, that represents having true faith, true righteousness, abiding in and with the Holy Spirit. That's the oil. The supply of oil represents an inward grace. And it distinguishes the wise from the foolish. Grace is the riches of Christ Jesus. Being prepared, having oil, means we work faithfully for the Lord. Being prepared, having oil, means practicing good stewardship, careful management of our time and money, generosity to those in need, proclaiming the gospel through how we live our lives. Being prepared and having oil means trusting and obeying Jesus. There's no other way. So here's a little bit more for this April's Fool Alert. This is the month of April, and this is our Fool Alert. I want to point out now, scripture after scripture, I want it to feed you. I want it to minister to you. I want it to convict you as only it can. My words can't, but the living word of God can. Psalms 14:1, fools say in their hearts, there is no God. Fools are evil and do terrible things. A fool denies the existence of God. You can say something with your mouth, but the Lord knows your heart. He sees it. Proverbs 1:7, Knowledge begins with fear and respect for the Lord. But stubborn fools hate wisdom and they refuse to learn. I think it was Amy Grant. She wrote and sang a song, Fat, Fat Baby. And it was all about Christians that never grew up. They were just fat, fat babies. They never grew. They were taking the word in, but they never applied it. They never worked it. They never exercised. They never were doers of the word. And I would hate to think that we never learn, that we never change. We hear God's word. We come, we read, we listen, and we go away. We come, we hear, and we never change. It's time for change. It's time to grow up. Proverbs 10, 9 and 11. You will be safe if you always do right, but you will get caught if you are dishonest. Deceit causes trouble, and foolish talk will bring you to ruin. The words of good people are a source of life, but evil hides behind the words of the foolish, of the wicked. Proverbs 10, 17 through 19. Those who accept correction shows others how to live. Those who reject correction lead others the wrong way. People sometimes lie to hide their hatred. But saying bad things about someone is even more foolish. To someone's face, you might pretend to be nice and like them, and you put on this little fake little thing, but in your heart, you go away and say something bad about them to your bestie, to your spouse, to someone else. Saying bad things about someone is even more foolish. A person who talks too much gets into trouble. A wise person learns to be quiet. Proverbs 12, 15. Fools are headstrong and they do what they like. Wise people, they take advice. Okay, anybody? Fools have short fuses. I heard one gasp. I think I heard one gasp. It was probably my husband. Fools have short fuses and explode all too quickly, not because of his fuse, but because of mine. And the prudent quietly shrug off insults. How hard is that? You know, do we want to repay somebody when they're a jerk? Anybody? You guys lie? You do. If you don't, you at least feel it inside. What if somebody honks at you in traffic? How do you wave at them? Shrug it off. Just shrug it off. Hi, God bless you. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Foolish people are always fighting. But avoiding quarrels, backing away from an accusation, will bring you honor, glory, and praise. Proverbs 29:11. A short-sighted fool always loses her temper and displays her anger. But a wise woman uses self-control and holds it back. Thought I'd give you a break on that one, guys. We went with the her. We didn't want to just think of it just about you, because it's certainly not. Proverbs 18:7. Fools are undone by their big mouths. You see a theme. We see a theme, don't we? Their souls are crushed by their words. Listening to gossip. Oh, this was really good. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want junk like that in your belly? That's the message version. You just got to love Eugene Peterson. God bless him. He's in heaven with Jesus. But what a great application. I don't know if they had candy in Jesus' day, but do we have it now? Yes. And you eat too much, and what happens? Girls, yeah, we get sick. Proverbs 18:6. Foolish talk will get you into a lot of trouble. Saying foolish things is like setting a trap to destroy yourself. Proverbs 14:8-9. What makes a person wise is understanding what to do. What makes a person foolish is dishonesty. Foolish people don't care if they sin. But honest people work at being right with others. They don't care if they say it, or do it, or watch it, or eat it, or think it. It's no big deal. Anybody? It's no big deal. How many times do you hear that voice? I do. I have a choice. You have a choice. You hear the voice. It is a big deal. Could we agree the next time we hear it's no big deal? Stomp on that lie. It is a big deal. Don't be fooled by Satan's lies. He wants us to compromise because he plans on stealing the prize that's awaiting at the finish line for you and I. Don't be fooled. He's a liar. He's a master liar. He masquerades like an angel of light to fool us. I was in my office and I was typing this all out, and wouldn't you know, like you could just pick a day this week, just pick any one of those days. It was pouring outside. We have a tin roof and it was just pelting like brrr. And I thought, as I was reading this next parable, I thought, Lord, you just wanted to kind of like punctuate it, did you? So here we go, the rain. Matthew 7, 21 through 27, and I'm reading this in the Message version. The Lord said, this is red letters, this is what Jesus said. I love this rendering. Knowing the correct password, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed demons. And our God-sponsored projects had everybody talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You are out of here. Ooh, get me back to King James, right? It goes on to say, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. They're not homeowner improvements for your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build your life on. Okay, these aren't just like, well, you know, if you feel like it, hey, if you wanted it. Not. If you work these words into your life, you will be like a smart carpenter who has built his house on the solid rock. Rain poured down, and the river flooded, and the tornado hit. But nothing moved the house. It was fixed to the rock. Hallelujah is right. Verses 26 and 27. But if you use my words in the Bible studies, and you don't work them into your life, I got a notch on my belt. I went to Bible study. In fact, I've taught them. Hello. I got two belts full of notches of Bible studies. And I've even got a sermon belt of notches. Don't matter. He said, if you use my words in Bible studies and you don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid, foolish carpenter who has built his hand on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. That's sad. In the Living Bible, it says, "But those who hear my instructions and ignore them are foolish, like a man who builds his house on sand. For when the rains and the floods come and the storms beat against his house, it's going to fall with a mighty crash." In this month of April, I'm sounding the fool alert, but I also must offer a life preserver of hope. Anybody need some hope about right now? Well, here it comes, hope in the form of wisdom, bread of heaven feed us, Psalms 111:10. The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 3:13, happy, blessed, fortunate, enviable is the man and woman who find skillful and godly wisdom, and to the woman and to the man who gets understanding, and they draw forth from God's word and from life's experience. Proverbs 16:23, wise people always think before they speak, so what they say is worth listening to. Kind words are like honey and are easy to accept and good for your health. Psalms 19:7. The Lord's teachings are perfect. They give strength to his people. The Lord's rules can be trusted. They help even the foolish become wise. The Lord's laws are right. They make people happy. The Lord's commands are good. They show people the right way to live. And when you get these handouts that you're going to get to take home today, there's going to be more on there than I'm even giving you now. You're going to get like appetizer, salad bar, main course, dessert. John, what else is there? Like beverage. There's so many courses, the master of courses. You're going to get more than what I'm even saying now. To digest and to take on into your soul. Psalms 13:20, whoever spends time with wise people will become wise, but whoever makes friends with fools will suffer. It matters who you hang with. Here's a great promise, Daniel 12:3, and those who are wise, the people of God, shall shine as brightly as the sun's brilliance, and those who turn many to righteousness will glitter like the stars forevermore. I love this version. Once again, the message in Proverbs 9:8-12. If you reason with an arrogant cynic, you'll get slapped in the face. If you confront bad behavior, you'll get kicked in the shins. So don't waste your time on a scoffer. All you'll get is pain and abuse. But if you correct those who care about life, that's different. They will love you for it. Save your breath for the wise. They'll be wiser for it. Tell good people what you know, and they will profit from it. Amen. Skilled living gets its start in the fear of God, insight into life from knowing a holy God. It's through me wisdom that your life deepens and years of your life ripen. Live wisely, and wisdom will permeate your life. Mock life, and life will mock you. Great example in 2 Chronicles. God appeared to Solomon and he said, "Ask me for anything and I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "Oh God, you have been so kind and good to me and my father. Now you have given me the kingdom. Lord, this is all I want, for you have been faithful to your promise to David, my father, and you have made me king over a nation as full of people as the earth is full of dust. Now, this is the one thing Solomon said, give me wisdom and knowledge to rule them properly. For who is able to govern by himself such a great nation as this one? God replied, because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you haven't asked for personal health, honor, and you haven't asked me to curse your enemies, and you haven't asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to properly guide my people. Yes, I will give you wisdom and knowledge and all that you've asked for. I'm even going to give you riches and wealth and honor such as no other king has ever had before you. And there will never again be so great a king in all the world. What are you asking for today? The healing, the provision, the breakthrough. Yes and yes and yes, we are to ask for those things. But how about if we begin to get on our faces and say, of all of life, I ask for wisdom and understanding to know you and to make you known, that you will direct and guide my every decision, that you will show me where to turn, to the right or to the left. Could we start our prayer with give me wisdom? Give me understanding. Wisdom is knowing the right thing to do, and understanding is doing it. We need wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 8 through 10 through 11. Receive my instruction in preference over sterling silver, and knowledge more than choicest gold. For skillful and godly wisdom is better than rubies or pearls, and all that is to be desired. Nothing can compare to wisdom. Proverbs 13, 9 through 11. The lives of good people are like brightly lit streets. The lives of wicked people are like dark alleys. Arrogant know-it-alls stir up discord, but wise men and women listen to each other's counsel. Proverbs 12, 15 through 17. Fools think they're doing right. The path of fools is virtuous and right in their own eyes, but the wise listen to advice. Proverbs 14, a wise person fears and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and overconfident. He's quick-tempered and stupid, and he does things that are hateful. Proverbs 12, 23, wise, prudent people keep what they know to themselves. They conceal, they hide their knowledge, but fools can't keep from showing how foolish they are. The heart of fools proclaims stupidity. In closing, we can pray God's word for ourselves and for others out of Ephesians 1, 16 through 18. Paul says, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you may grow in the knowledge of God. James 1, 5 through 6. If you lack wisdom to guide you, to help you make decisions and in every circumstance of life, you are to ask of the benevolent God who gives generously to everyone, without rebuke, without blame, it shall be given. But when you ask for wisdom and faith, ask without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. Let's bow our heads. Father, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My mind is renewed by the washing of it with your word. We can't get enough of your word. Your word is life. It guides me. It helps me. It shows me. It teaches me. It corrects me. It comforts me. And you say in Ephesians 5, 16 through 17, that we should use every opportunity we have for doing good because the days are evil. You said, don't be foolish with our lives, But learn what the Lord wants you to do. I thank you that wise women and wise men still seek you. Thank you for, in this month of April, giving us a fool alert so that we could examine ourselves and see, is our mouth foolish or our actions foolish? Are we stubborn? Do we mock at sin? Do we laugh at it? Or are we putting on wisdom by practicing righteousness? By being doers of the word and not hearers only? God help us. By